is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Before we get Soundgarden, welcome in, top of the hour. Coming up at 7:15, 3 for Madness.
Woo!
Do you remember the reliever Kyle Farnsworth?
Yes, I do.
So Kyle tweeted out yesterday. So I just saw that a Major League Baseball player didn't play today because of general soreness. By the way, really good military strategist, General Soreness.
Oh, yeah. Also, I believe he's the one who did it in Clue with the candlestick.
Mm-hmm. I just saw a player didn't play today because of general soreness. Are you kidding me? It's September. Everyone is sore. If you can't play through soreness, you shouldn't be playing the sport. Shaking my head.
Yeah, he shook it really violently, I'm told.
Player Kyle was talking about was diagnosed with colon cancer last year.
Whoops.
Missed the entire season while undergoing chemotherapy. Was declared cancer-free in November. And he's played 128 games this year, despite the Baltimore Orioles being the worst team in baseball. Kyle is tweeting about Trey Mancini, which reminds me of this story from August 28th of 2004. When a player decided to take out his frustrations by kicking an electric fan. He missed 3 weeks due to kicking the electric fan. The name of that player, Kyle Farnsworth. By the way, quick check of
Isn't
Kyle.
It just hilarious how these things work out.
And here from the list of things you wouldn't have guessed, when you click on Farnsworth's profile on Twitter, the bearded Farnsworth with eye black, a camo beanie.
Yeah.
Getting right with the deer horns in the back.
They're coming for you, Kyle.
His profile says a lion doesn't lose sleep over the opinion of sheep. Psalms 18:2.
That was Psalms 18:2?
I don't think
that's where that came from.
I don't know, but it
set my Bible game up. But
it's so fun to play Twitter profile roulette where you see the tweet. You hear the tone, and then you try to guess. You pretty much know there's going to be a few things in that person's profile.
They fit an algorithm, so to speak.
They really do. Camo, a flag, a gun.
It's really bad how we've gotten as a society, guys. We need to be better about life.
I'm moving to Oregon, where everything's normal.
Yes, Portland, the city of normal, as they call it.
Soundgarden.
Keep Portland normal, damn it.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
There may be some people surprised out there. There wasn't anybody surprised in our locker room because of the preparation that they put in this week.
I'm here to call Chip Kelly a liar.
Yeah?
Yeah. Is that Chip Kelly's best win since he was at Oregon? Because I can't remember a win with the Eagles that meant anything. He's 2-14 with the Niners. UCLA has sucked under his tutelage. Yes.
Okay, more embarrassing comment. Chip Kelly, no one's surprised. Or LSU coach Ed Orgeron.
Hey, Coach Orgeron. Orgeron.
Hey, okay. Guys.
Bring your ass on your little sissy blue shirt.
So, like, I have this, like, weird fascination with Ed Orgeron just because of his voice.
Bring your blanks on with your sissy blue shirts.
Your sissy blue shirts. We aren't going to lose to a bunch of Pac-12 sissies.
That's your sissies and your sissy little baby blue
shirt. Your blue shirt. That's the best comeback you got ever. Ed at that point just let the fan talk and just keep walking.
Did Ed forget he was wearing purple?
I guess so.
I mean, are we defining colors now?
By the way, is Ed Orgeron like one loss away from no longer coaching LSU after the season?
No, he's bought himself some time for that national championship.
No, Joe Burrow bought him some time with that national title.
Great win for UCLA.
Great win for UCLA. Again, best win for Chip Kelly since Oregon.
Number two.
Soundgarden. NFL's weird. It's really weird. It's very, very rare to find anybody that's into like alternative stuff. These dudes are just eating McDonald's, and I mean, it's gotten better, but right. Like, it's a fast-paced, crush your body and just go to the next day. I was never around a lot of guys that were really focused on taking care of their bodies. I mean, there's obviously people out there, but
right.
You know, 75% of the guys are just going to Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or doing whatever and just coming in and rolling. And these guys are unbelievable athletes. Like, these guys are programmed to play football. They can eat whatever they want, drink whatever they want, and show up and just absolutely do it on Sundays.
That's Jay Cutler.
You would never know, though. That's like the most charisma I've ever heard him talk with.
Not the only clip that we're going to hear from Jay Cutler today. Listen, is that tough to believe that you got football players just pounding nugs?
Dude, something tells me offensive lineman is not getting a kale salad.
No, they're throwing weight on, man. You know, they're also burning a ton of calories.
Like,
too.
If you were a quarterback of NFL Team A,
right,
and your O-lineman was like, yeah, man, we're going to go out and get some kale salads, maybe do some smoothies.
Yeah.
We might be doing a fast this week.
Right.
No, bro, no. Go to Chick-fil-A, get the Giannis special, get the 50 nugs.
Hey, listen. Jay Cutler's a character. Tom Brady ain't eating nugs.
No. Tom Brady hasn't had a nugget in 30 years. Fact.
Number three.
Soundgarden.
Who do you want to fight? I said Donovan McNabb. and I'm dead serious. Saying I'll knock him out. Because there'd be so much I would go in there. I know I'll be controlled.
Right.
It'll be controlled anger. I'd be like a Navy SEAL. I'd be a Navy SEAL because, you know, they cool come under all conditions. But there would be a fire burning inside of me.
It's Terrell Owens. Boy, he just really doesn't like Donovan McNabb. What did Don McNabb ever do other than throw up in the Super Bowl?
His hate for Donovan McNabb, again, remember, this is what, like, 2004 season, somewhere in there? I think it was the 05 Super Bowl. Like, you're still holding on to that. Like, you've been in the Hall of Fame. You've been out of the game forever. Both of you guys have.
Yeah.
Like, there hasn't been an opportunity just to be like, yo, what's up? We're grown now. You know, that was a different... Like, we're still doing this.
It's just... Old man.
I'm not a Donovan McNabb fan, by the way. I've never really cared for Donovan McNabb, but it's like, let it go, bro.
Yeah, Donovan McNabb seems like a nice guy. He just kind of does his thing. Listen.
Do you think Terrell Owens really has like this sort of hate for Donovan McNabb, or is just this Terrell Owens with a microphone in front of him trying to get some attention? Because if so, he's doing a great job.
Well, think about it. Terrell Owens is always a diva.
Yes.
Terrell Owens always was an attention H.
Yes.
And Terrell Owens is not very relevant right now. So Terrell Owens is going to go on the podcast, and hey, I'd love to have him on this show, get him to say something silly, and then people play the clip. He's gold.
We'll go the virals.
Right, because, yeah, that's what's Terrell Owens going to do? People aren't expecting him to go on and talk X's and O's and break the game down, although
he could probably be great at it. That's what sucks.
Wonderful. Terrell Owens would be an amazing analyst. If he just wanted to, you know, be an analyst and do his thing, yeah, he's a wonderful football mind. You know, he wants to choose violence, and no pun intended, but sure, pun intended.
Are you here for a Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens, Paul-esque fight situation?
I would say this.
The Triller.
I would say we should play matchmaker for Triller. This would be kind of a fun thought exercise. And what are some of the sports fights?
Ooh.
Now or from before? That got to still be alive.
Can we do this at 8:05?
Yeah, I think we should do sports fights.
The best rivalries, players not liking each other. There's so many from so many different sports. Like, we never got the matchup we really wanted in a ring, Nolan Ryan versus Robin Ventura.
Yeah, but do you do that fight? We'll have to come up with some rules, because I don't want to see Nolan Ryan versus Robin Ventura now.
No, but back then, 67-year-old Nolan Ryan, however old he was at that point,
right,
he would have We already saw. He did pummel him, but I want to see him put hands on him in a ring.
Yes. Ooh, by the way, I said, hey, somebody just corrected me. I'm so glad they did. I said an attention H because I wasn't going to say the word because it's a bad. It's an attention W.
But it has an H in it. So.
That's
second letter.
That's terrible on my part.
No, and listen, I'm not going to sit here and get on someone for butchering something. So. Really no, nope, I'm actually here to be sympathetic towards you.
An attention horse.
Yes.
That's what I meant. A horse.
Nay.
Yeah.
Good div.
Take a break.
Attention.
Yeah! That was nice. Coming up next.
All right. Three for Madness. Do you think of this weekend, after this weekend's series between the Dodgers and Giants, things change for you at all?
No.
Talk about that. Patrick Cantlay won the big championship. How good is Patrick for golf? And let's talk about your buddy's fantasy football team. Three for Madness coming up next.
1, 2, 3. It's three for Madness time. Three for Madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for Madness. Here's question one.
All right, three for Madness.
Three for Madness.
Love it.
Like it or love it? Like it or love it?
Depends on the content.
Well, boy, do we got some great content for you today.
But today, I love it. Jay Mars, Carmichael Dave will take you all the way till 9. Jason Ross at 3.
P.M.
Oh, not A.M. today.
Nah, P.M. today. Getting moved up.
Three for Madness. Question one.
Did this weekend series change your outlook on the NL West?
No.
No.
I still think the Dodgers
will win. You're a Dodger fan, Dave.
Yeah, good. That's me.
Hold on.
Anything could happen in baseball. And the proof of that is that the Giants took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. The Giants, in 19 games played, won 10. It shouldn't happen.
It shouldn't be this even, right?
No, it 100% shouldn't be this even. The Giants should not have won this many games.
The Giants have edged the Dodgers, like, literally, look at this, by one game for the series. I think 2 runs overall. Or did the Dodgers score more overall runs? I can't remember that stat. But then the Giants have 1-game lead on the Dodgers right now. Those two teams, given the differential in payroll and just overall star power, the fact that they are this close and this even with one another is truly amazing. Hats off to the Giants, by the way. They get all the credit there. No credit to the Dodgers and their second-best record in baseball. Losers.
The Dodgers are getting healthy. Cody Bellinger isn't going to hit like a minor leaguer all season. Maybe he does.
No, he will. Okay. I expect nothing from Cody Bellinger at this point. Cody Bellinger didn't hit well last season. Cody Bellinger hasn't hit well this season. I don't see him having a miraculous turnaround in the next month or in the playoffs.
But in the end, if the Giants beat the Dodgers in the playoffs, if the Giants go on to one World Series, there's no logical reason for it. You can apply some. You can say, well, you know, their pitching staff did this, and, you know, the bullpen, and they're very good at contact and far. You can draw lines, but they're at best probably the 15th, maybe 10th, if you're really stretching, most talented team in baseball. I mean, and that's a stretch. It's just baseball, dude, and that's what I love about baseball. You can't explain it sometimes. You can't explain the Giants. By the way, you can explain the Dodgers, but wasn't for the Giants, yes. They have the best record in baseball.
The Dodgers are a very easy team to explain. That one doesn't take a whole lot of thought. I am trying to think, when was the last time the Dodgers and the Giants met in the playoffs? Because if that happens, and I am trying to will that to happen, that is going to be, at least in this region, amazing for ratings and just baseball in general.
It should be amazing for,
again, this region.
Yeah, everyone in every region. But yes, in this region, it would go absolutely insane. And you got to think they're on a collision course at some point. And you know, I've been doing it all year, and I've been wrong most of the year, but I will continue to do it and be happy if I'm wrong. You just feel like in a playoff situation, they're going to end up throwing Kershaw and Bueller and Scherzer and Urias and whomever else. Well, that other guy, I got to look at the break. I don't know why I'm blanking on the other pitcher they've got coming back.
Dustin May.
No, it's not Dustin May. They're just too deep.
They're a very deep team.
They're easily.
But you know what? Prior to last year, they were also a very deep team and kept losing in the playoffs. Like, that's always been the Dodgers. They've always been deep. But things happen, especially if the Giants and Dodgers meet a five-game series. Anything can happen at that point when you're looking at three-man rotations.
Well, we'll see. I'm not confident. But you know what? Screw it. Anthony Gonsolin, by the way, was the other pitcher. That
Tony.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if Gonsolin's going to crack the rotation, though, especially come playoff time.
Well, worst-case scenario, a fine long reliever indeed. Number two.
Question two.
Is Patrick Cantlay good for golf?
Here, this sucks. It really does. Because it shouldn't. Patrick Cantlay, there's nothing wrong with him. Patrick Cantlay played great golf this year. Patrick Cantlay, before this year, nobody knew who the hell he was except Mama and Daddy Cantlay. But he's so boring.
There's not a whole lot of...
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to rip Patrick. I like Patrick Cantlay. But the question is he good for golf? No. You know who would have been great for golf winning this FedEx Cup? Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, Rory McIlroy. Just about... Xander Schauffele, for
Olympic gold medalist Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, like... Ricky Fowler, who's barely keeping his tour card. Phil Mickelson wins his major, and golf goes nuts. Patrick Cantlay played amazing golf. I'm taking zero away from him. He deserves it. And you know what? Maybe in a private setting, he's incredibly charismatic. Maybe after a couple years and 15 more millions of dollars, Patrick Cantlay will chill a little bit. And he explained it, Jay. He said, I kind of get in a trance. When I play, you have to calm yourself, almost be meditative. So I try to be boring out there. I respect Patrick Cantlay. I like Patrick Cantlay. He's not good for golf. He's just, eh.
I agree with you 100%. What sucks is for Patrick Cantlay when you win, the tour championship, and then everyone's like, man, good for you, but man, you're not good for the sport. We don't want to see you win. You're too boring, bro. Move over.
Right.
But like I said, I agree with you. You're from a golf standpoint, when you're talking about ratings, revenue, and just eyeballs on the sport, yes, you're 100% correct.
Number three.
Question three.
Is hearing about your buddy's fantasy football draft maybe the greatest thing about the opening of the NFL season?
Absolutely. Well, honest to good, when I did this over the weekend, when I go to a friend's house, and not only did he talk to me about, I got to see what his team was, and then also, though, his wife's first team, and then the team she drafted after, and they explain it, and I'm just, I love talking about their team. I love talking about how good or bad they... No!
No!
No one cares! Nobody cares. Now, did I post my fantasy team on Twitter over the weekend?
Of course you did.
Of course I did. That's opt-in. You can choose to like or dislike my team all you want. But what I didn't do is call people, text people, and explain to people.
You didn't screenshot and send out to a 12-person group text.
Nobody ever has cared in the history of caring. Not one time ever has anyone been like, oh, wow, dude.
Awesome team,
who's
man.
Your bench, bro? Talking about showing somebody your fantasy team is the exact same corollary as you forcing people to look at pictures of your dumb baby.
Wow.
Nobody cares.
Unreal. Shout out to your baby, though.
Shout out to your baby. But nobody cares about your baby or your fantasy football team. We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
I mean, they care about the baby. And maybe newborn pics are okay. But, picture a Johnny at 2 years old playing with Play-Doh and how cute it is. No, it's not. We've all been there if we're parents. And if we're not parents, then we're sad that we don't have our own kids or we're concentrating on our single lives. Whatever it may be, we don't care that your kid's playing with Play-Doh. Knock it off. Halftime is next. Giants, A's, golf. A little bit of college football, but not the football because I know you guys don't care. The controversy because is there a coach that wants to execute his players? We'll talk about that next.
The number 12 mid-market sports morning show in the country. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Stacey's mom is a fan of halftime coming up here in just a moment. Confirmed.
By whom? You text Stacey's mom?
I'm excited. Yeah, time to time. She's a good friend.
Really?
Exciting week on the program. This Friday will be Announcement Friday. I think we're calling it that. That's a lame name.
Nobody is resigning, by the way. Yeah. That's kind of what that is.
Like, in this business, you never know.
I didn't say being fired. That's I said true. Resigning.
We will be announcing our fall lineup for you. We've got you covered starting next week. Although I will not tell you who as of yet. We will tell you on Friday. Some old faces, some new faces. But we've got you covered end-to-end for football. And then shortly after that, we'll be telling you we'll be adding our basketball lineup into that. And then it's just, let's go, baby.
Yeah.
We've got, it's so perfect the way this week is working out, too. Because it is, summer's like, I'm not leaving. So it'll be 102 today, 102 tomorrow, 100 degrees Thursday.
Actually, KCRA had today pegged at 106 and 107. All right,
well, I'm looking
tomorrow.
At Apple iPhone weather.
Well, I trust where the news comes first more than your Apple iPhone.
Okay, well, but can we both agree we hope the iPhone's right?
I mean, at that point, does it matter?
A little bit.
It's just gross no matter what.
Summer with its death rattle and then football starting Thursday. But in reality, football starting Sunday, the big kickoff.
Yeah.
Also, memo to two of my friends, one who decided to have a birthday party for their child on Sunday, and the other, I forget what they're doing. Don't schedule anything for this Sunday if you want anyone to go.
Oh, if you're scheduling stuff on the first football Sunday of the weekend, you're not doing it right.
And don't give me a dirty look when I say, oh, yeah, I can go, but I have to go at like 8. I can be there from 8 to 9:30 a.m. That's it. Well, we have TVs.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I'll bet you do. Have fun with your TVs because I'm going to be
cool.
My butt cheeks will be making a firm imprint in my couch. And we will have the center going of the red zone here and the featured game there and food. And
walk into Dave's house. It's basically the NFL Network setup.
It looks like Darth Vader's bathroom in my house when football's on. I'm not going to lie. Lights and flickering screens everywhere. Bottom line is all this is happening. It's fantastic as we prep you. This is if I sound excited, it's because this is where sports radio is the best.
Yes.
And when you consider the fact that everything has been so COVID-y the last 2 years, and we went, what, 6-7 months without sports? You know, things are getting maybe a little too normal, but if you saw some of those college football games, but they're getting better. We have a full slate of college football, full slate of NFL, in fact, an extra game. We've got a full slate of NBA basketball, and if you really want your mind blown, friend, how about this? In just over 3 weeks, it'll be Media Day at Golden One Center.
And in just over 3 weeks, right when Media Day is happening, I believe it's the same week or the following week, is baseball playoffs.
Yep. So you've got NBA training camps opening at the end of the month. Baseball playoffs.
Are we going to Media Day this year? Okay.
I mean, been every Media Day for the last 15, 16 years. They're just
not last year because there wasn't one.
There wasn't one.
Gotcha.
They're just different now.
Media Day sucks.
It's not the same. It used to be, you know, you get access to every player mm-hmm. That's where you can do it. Now it's, you know, they've got this booth set up for NBA 2K, this booth set up for NBC Sports, California.
KCK, we're in like the back corner and we're lucky if someone stops by and just waves at us.
Like there's the TV partner, there's the video game partner, there's also NBA Entertainment, and I get that. Can we get one of those booths since we're the radio partner?
Well, we do. The last Media Day that had people, we did. And boy, was that a point of contention with some. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
And with not open microphones.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of Media Day. I'm sure we'll do something at Media Day. Not for nothing.
Well, you have to since your Media Day.
Yeah, thank you. If you didn't see it, by the way, check the Aaron Fox's Instagram or Twitter out. He's lifting weights. Posted a shirtless pic.
How'd he look?
Lifting weights.
Woo!
I mean, he looks better. Better. That implies he didn't look great before, like he was fat or something. I don't know. The idea that De'Aaron Fox is turning into like a little mini Hulk is overblown. looks like he's in great shape.
Yeah.
But here's a newsflash. I'm not entirely sure I want De'Aaron Fox adding too much muscle.
Well, no, you don't want him adding too much muscle, but the way he drives into the lane, and, you know, last year he fixed some of this, you know, developing the floater, but his first couple seasons, he would just drive and crash like Allen Iverson style. He's got to be able to absorb contact the way he goes to the basket, so, no, you need him putting on muscle.
I want him to put on enough muscle to where he can do the thing where he falls on the floor 50 times and be okay. I don't want him being Mike Bibby. Now.
Oh, now Mike Bibby. Oh, yeah. No, we don't need the incredible De'Aaron.
This is a different conversation. We got to get to halftime, but for real, is De'Aaron Fox the best point guard the Kings have ever had? Is that still an argument?
I don't think so.
Is there still? I think it is.
It's just an individual player, not like what they
well,
did.
Well, like, that's what I'm saying. Are you still going to get the whole, like, well, he has to do something in the playoffs?
No.
So he's the best point guard ever, right?
Put it this way. Here's why I don't like that you need to do something on the playoffs. Put De'Aaron on Philadelphia. Give him the opportunity in that realm, he'll do something. Promise you. I'm not worried about De'Aaron when he gets to the playoffs. Like, oh, De'Aaron's not going to be able to perform in the playoffs. He's one of the last people I worry about with that. Dude has already shown a knack for the big moment, especially in the fourth quarters. Like, I'm not worried about him when he gets to the playoffs.
Do we think the Kings would be worse in 2002 with De'Aaron Fox?
No. No.
No offense to Mike Bibby, by the way.
Not at all. But, man, De'Aaron playing with that team and the way they move the ball around and how he likes to play off the ball and get set up, he would have a field day.
Halftime.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
Swinging it, a little bouncer right back to Leon. He's got it. Flips it over to Ruff at first, and the ball game is over.
The San Francisco Giants take 2 of 3 from the hated Los Angeles Dodgers.
And their ugly blue jerseys on Sunday.
God, those were terrible.
Between the Dodgers all blue jerseys and the Giants fog jerseys.
Okay, those are terrible too.
It was just a bunch of ugly.
Listen, you have two teams with some of the most, you know, they're not the Cubs and they're not the Yankees, but some of the most classic jerseys in baseball history.
They ain't far off, though, either.
I'm with you. They are some of the most classic jerseys in baseball. Don't screw with them.
Ever.
And I will say this, from a pure aesthetic standpoint, color-wise, I actually think the Dodgers have better uniforms than the Giants. I hate saying that, but just from a pure color scheme, I enjoy that color scheme more. But those dark blue pants with the dark blue, that was just stupid.
And I get, you know, you want to do the Los Dodgers thing, that I'm cool with.
I'm fine with that.
But make the hat better, too.
A belt that's a different color to separate?
Sure, or could we have just done the same jerseys and just put Los Doyers on them? Would it have been that hard?
It would be typical of this show to spend all our Giants and Dodgers talk on their uniforms.
We will not do that.
We will not do that. The Giants and Dodgers also both won yesterday. They still have to play other Major League Baseball teams. The Giants beat the Rockies. The Dodgers beat the Cardinals. But here we go. Giants ahead of the Dodgers by a game. The Giants and Dodgers. Dodgers along with the Rays. Best record in baseball. Dodgers and Rays second best. In the wild card, in case you were wondering, the Dodgers have a 13.5 game lead over the Padres.
Is that safe? On September 7th, the 13.5 safe in the wild card.
This was a wonderful series. We're going to talk about it a lot more at 8:05. That's our Giants-Dodgers segment. This is a wonderful series, and I'd be saying that if the Giants lost 2 of 3. It was playoff baseball.
It's good for baseball.
Both managers said, you know what? It's just another couple of games. No, it wasn't, and they know it. They were emptying the kitchen sink. There were bullpen games. There were crazy, memorable plays. The only thing the series honestly lacked, and I don't mean that in a way like I'm fine with this, but the only thing that would have made this a complete playoff Giants-Dodgers series is a bench clearing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that didn't happen. And honestly, that time of year, I kind of, if you'd asked me on Friday, is there going to be a bench clearing during the series? I would have said, yeah, maybe not a big fight, but someone will do something. There'll be a little yammering. There was nothing. There was no back and forth. I didn't catch one time where there was any sort of disagreement at all. And I'm fine with that. I'm not advocating for it, but let's be honest. If Saturday the bench is cleared, we'd love that.
Of
I love a good old-fashioned clearing.
As long as nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, no one gets hurt. I really don't want anybody fighting because I don't want anybody getting hurt. I don't want anybody getting suspended. But a good old-fashioned, you know, bench clearing where you got the guy who doesn't want to do anything being held back, and then as soon as he gets held back, he starts going crazy, like, now I'm going to do something. You know, one of those. Give me a good old-fashioned NBA non-fight.
We'll talk about this more at 8:05, but... And I asked the question last segment. I got to go back to see when the last time they played each other in the playoffs. But this is the first time, I want to say, in my lifetime that we're looking at a potential Dodgers-Giants playoff matchup. Because the wild card faces the team with the best record in the league.
Right.
The Giants or Dodgers are going to finish with the best record in the National League.
Right.
That plays the wild card. Yep. One of those two teams will also be a wild card team.
Which is hilarious. It's hilarious because it's not how it should be.
No, they should be playing each other if they do play each other, be in the NLCS. That's where it should be.
The way it should work is
by record. Rank them. I agree with you.
I don't care. Screw division that you titles. Won the NL Central or NL East. If you won the NL East, it's even stupider because you played a worse schedule. Odds are because your division sucks more. The Giants, Dodgers, and Padres play in a slaughterhouse. That is the NL West. The fact that after the first, and you're 100% correct, there's no doubt the only way the Giants and Dodgers don't play each other in the first round of the playoffs is if one of them happens to lose the wild card game, which could happen. But here's what we do know, Jay. No matter what, one of the two best teams in baseball will be gone before the second round of the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Yeah, and that's stupid.
And that's inexcusable. It would not be difficult. Everybody makes the playoffs. The wild card team absolutely gets in after the whole wild card thing. And then guess what? You go by record. And if you're sitting there saying, well, you got to have a reward. You got to have a reward for winning your division. Why? Why do you have to have a reward? Your reward is you made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And your reward is if you have the best record, you play the team with the worst record. And if you have the second best record, you play the team with the second worst record. And that's the way it should go. Rewarding somebody for winning their division is the most asinine, inane, stupid
thing. I agree. I think division titles in general are stupid.
It's so dumb. And as much as baseball fans are number honks, it's as bad as judging a pitcher based on games won. It's as bad as that. Wins for a pitcher, I won't say it's a useless stat. Obviously, if a guy wins 19, 20 games, 17 games, whatever, he's had a good
and game. Has a really good ERA. Let's point that out.
Right. But the fact of the matter is that you can win a ball game having given up 7 earned, and you can lose a ball game having given up 0 earned. It's just stupid. It's the same thing.
Okay, so I found the stat. You know, last time they played each other in the postseason?
God.
It was 3-game tiebreakers to determine the NL pennant in 1962.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, obviously because of the divisional setup and the fact that wild card is still relatively new in the big scheme of things.
Wild card's been around for over 25 years now, and they've never met.
Right. It really is strange. And I'm old enough to remember Brian Johnson's home run on the last day of the year. I think that was at the stick over the Dodgers, and that meant a lot. But that wasn't
that
in a playoff
well.
Situation.
No, they've had a couple end of the years. I remember It was 2004. Yeah. Giants and Dodgers were playing for the division on the last day of the year, and you may remember Steve Finley hits a grand slam for the Dodgers in the ninth inning.
I do remember that. From the 916, by the way, your text line is 916-339-1140. Honestly, why do we even need divisions in baseball? They're stupid altogether. See, I agree. I'll stand in front of it in this aspect. Number one, I think divisions are important, most part for geography, rivalries, and scheduling. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but also I think we're at a point with sports that you don't need them separated by division to schedule like that.
No.
You know? I really don't think you need to do that. I think people understand you can just institute something maybe called common sense scheduling is teams that play near each other will play each other a little bit more under the same idea of divisions. But, yeah, the overall idea of divisions is stupid.
Well, I think the idea of rewarding a team because they won their division.
Yes. You won a division of five teams.
Right. And by the way, your division might have been a horrible division. So mm-hmm. So why are you being rewarded for that, whereas the Dodgers or the Giants are being penalized because they happen to play in that division? I mean, really?
Yeah, it's dumb. It's such an old school train of thought that just needs to go away. I mean, I don't think the NBA doesn't do that anymore, correct? Division champions are not awarded the first three seeds, I believe.
I don't think so.
I believe record has a lot more to do with that in the NBA now, which it should.
By the way, when you can go back, you know, when you want to talk about history, this, that, and whatever, you can go back far enough. You had the American League and the National League.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have divisions. It hasn't always been this way.
No, of course not.
Used to have two leagues. Now the leagues didn't play each other, and interleague is different. I get that.
Well, and we're both old enough to remember pre-wild card in 95.
Yeah.
Is you had two leagues, two divisions. The winner of each division, didn't matter what the record was of anybody else in the other division, the two winners played each other in the championship series. That was it.
Oh, trust me. There's a 100.
That's where the term pennant race comes from.
There's a 103-win Giants team on line three that yes. was talking about the Braves.
1993 Giants.
And not only did the Giants...
That Barry Bonds' first season, mm-hmm, right?
That not only did the Giants finish a game behind the Braves, and they had 103 wins. That's actually probably not the most hilarious thing. The most hilarious thing about that... Also, it's not that the wild card started, I believe, the following season. That's not the most hilarious thing. The most hilarious thing is that the San Francisco Giants finished in their division, the NL West, behind the Atlanta Braves, who are nowhere near the West. The Atlanta Braves are literally on the East Coast. The Atlanta Falcons used to be in the NFC West with the Niners.
Yeah, the way that it's taken a long time for in certain sports, it's especially back then.
Thing.
Well, remember when the Kings moved to Sacramento, they were still playing in the Midwest, if I'm not mistaken, the Midwest Division.
Yeah. It's so stupid. I'm all for scheduling for geography. Yeah, I want, you know, the Cubs and Cardinals, the Giants and Dodgers, the Yankees and Red Sox. I want them all playing each other more. I want it weighted towards rivalries. I'm all for that. But you can do that and not have stupid divisions. Anyways, halftime.
Speaking of stupid divisions.
Soundgarden.
Oops.
Swing and a miss to finish the ball game. Dominant performance over Oakland today with an 8-0 win.
I don't. This is where you're supposed to come on and analyze. I don't think the A's fans want that. They lost. Unfortunately, whether you want to hear it or not, and I think A's fans would agree, you can't pin it all on this, but this is what separates oftentimes the teams that have the money to provide depth and retain their players. The A's can do it with smoke and mirrors for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? In some cases, as we've seen in the wild cards, they can do it for the whole regular season. But eventually, enough guys are going to go cold. Enough guys are not going to have career years. Enough guys are going to get hurt. The A's are just, they're not playing anywhere near what they used to be playing like not that long ago.
No, and we brought this up at the beginning of the show. I'll say it again. Losing three straight to the Blue Jays sucks for the obvious reasons. Having it done at the hands in the very first game on a walk-off by your former All-Star shortstop really hurts, and then he hit another bomb on Sunday. And it's just kind of... to me, characterize the A's entire season. You look at this team, it's like, this is a good baseball team. This team could be close to great if they could have re-signed Liam Hendricks and Marcus Semien, who did not sign ridiculous contracts with the White Sox and Blue Jays, respectively.
They did not.
And if you add those two guys to this roster, we're looking at a completely different situation, in my opinion.
And how many times have A's fans had to hear that story?
Every year, it seems like. And now you look at the situation twofold. Someone brought up on the text line, like, man, the trading Lizardo for Marte does not look good now, seeing that Starling Marte will probably not be here next year. The only thing I'll say to that is Lizardo has not been good with the Marlins.
Lizardo has been a gas can.
Yeah, he's got an ERA over 7 in Miami. I think Lizardo, the idea of him being a top prospect is getting pretty close to being done. He's still young.
Yeah,
I get it.
You just don't know. Giants fans are, you know, Giants fans are sitting watching Zach Wheeler pitch. And Giants fans will remember trading Zach Wheeler all those years ago. And Zach, Zach had his struggles, but now has managed to put together a pretty decent career.
The other point I was going to make, too, with now you're watching the A's, is I don't think it's likely they get the wild card. I don't feel good about that,
I
don't feel good about them making the postseason in general. Now you're going into next season. Both Mets are due a raise.
Yep.
And this is a team that, again, is claiming they don't have any money to spend.
Yeah.
Hence why they offered that, you know, pseudo Bobby Bonilla contract to Marcus Semien in the offseason.
Yeah.
But I look at the A's and I'm like, all right, are we now at the point where we're in the rebuild mode again? They've had the good 3 years and now people are due raises. They're not going to be able to pay them. So are they going to trade those guys? I think so in the offseason. At least one of them, right? At least one of Chapman or Olsen is probably gone.
I think it's going to be interesting because I think by the end, there's a very good chance that by the start of next year, Chapman and Olsen could be gone and the A's could officially be going to Vegas. Like, this is not shaping up to be a great offseason.
This fall could be really bad for A's fans. I agree.
By the way, Zach Wheeler, 2.91 ERA this year, 12 wins, just under 200 innings and over 200 strikeouts for the Phillies. Again, pitchers take a while. And by the way, for every Zach Wheeler that gets traded who is a prospect, there's, you know, old Giants fans will remember, there's 10 Solomon Torreses.
The great Solomon Torres.
Who maybe one of the more heralded prospects pitching-wise in the history of the Giants. It didn't work out. Number three.
Halftime.
Tap in birdie for Cantlay on the biggest day of his career. FedEx Cup champion Patrick Cantlay at 21 under.
Like Patrick can lay
down 21 the lumber.
Yeah.
$15 million richer for Patrick Cantlay. And that officially ends the golf season. Next time we see golf that, you know, you've got the tournament in the Bay Area coming up here. And,
no, we're talking about big
golf. You know, really for me, the start of the season, I think, is always when you get the double Hawaii tournaments. And what is it, January, February, the Sony Open or whatever that is and the other one. Yeah, then you start moving towards, you know, eventually it'll be April, the Masters. Somebody asked me yesterday. It's funny. You haven't really heard much about it for really good reason. But other than the occasional sighting, almost like a ghost, nothing from Tiger.
Mm-mm.
I cannot imagine Tiger Woods plays golf next year.
No, not with that injury.
I
don't know if Tiger Woods is ever playing golf again,
no.
Much less next year. And I know that sounds really, that's a drastic take. I get it. But, man, that car injury was not a joke.
I want to give everyone, as we wrap this up, I want to give everybody what I think is a very fun homework assignment today. If you're a golf fan at all, I want you to go to YouTube at some point today when you have a few minutes to spare. And I want you to put in Tiger Woods' best shots. And there's a clip on there. I think it's about 12 minutes long. And it really kind of reminds you, like, forget all the hullabaloo surrounding Tiger, good and bad. When you watch some of the golf shots, this dude. Tiger Woods, to me, is so far and beyond the best golfer to ever play the game. And I don't think it's particularly close. Like, I don't think people want to talk about Nicklaus or Bobby Jones, and obviously equipment is different. I don't think we've ever seen the combination of steel, brain, athleticism, and I think most importantly, creativity and guts. Some of those guys might have some of those things. You put Tiger Woods in any era, and Tiger Woods is going to dominate.
Yes.
Seriously, take 10 minutes and watch those clips. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we spent a lot of time on the Giants. Let's also spend a little bit of time on college football from the weekend. Trevor Lawrence already taken a loss. One coach is already done coaching this year, and another coach wants to execute his players. No, he doesn't, but we'll talk about that clip I'm sure you've heard about next.